And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. It's the third day of October, and Joe Barner is across the way. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Brian. Today's been my dad's birthday.
Oh, really?
Now, he's been with Jesus for 24 years now.
Yeah.
But he was born October 3rd, 1912. So he'd be 113.
Boy, that'd be old, wouldn't it? I tell you, of course, I was noticing something back a few weeks ago. Somebody had posted the oldest person that's still living today, and I can't remember. I know it's well over 100, but you just don't see that very often, you know.
No, you don't.
Pretty amazing when somebody lives to be over 100 and still got a good mind.
Yeah.
And health is not bad. That's pretty amazing.
And not like in the book of Genesis where some were over 100 and they were well in the prime of life.
That's it. That's it. Well, a beautiful morning, 64 degrees. And
yeah,
of course.
I encountered just a few sprinkles.
Did you?
Very early this morning, there's these little things kept popping up on the windshield as I was driving in.
I
was dodging school buses, so
I didn't have anything.
Very, very
in.
Slight chance of sprinkles, and more of a chance of school buses.
There you go. There you go. That's very true, Joe. Well, you know, before we start anything, something's coming up next week, right?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. The What an Awesome God Carathon for Missionary Radio, your community station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up Tuesday and Wednesday from 6 until 5 p.m., 6 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yes.
And then on Thursday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yep. That's when we'll wrap it up. And, of course, we're just, I don't know about you. Of course, I love our partnership with TWR, and we get to have, I think Andy's coming in to be with us this time.
Yeah, Andy Napier.
And so we'll definitely have a good time. I know we will.
It's been a little bit since he's been here, so we're looking forward to that.
Looking forward to having him in the studios with us. And, of course, all of our missionaries that work for Missionary Radio, we just have a good time during our carathon.
And it's an opportunity to partner with so many others and invest in the ministry of Missionary Radio to keep it going 24/7, proclaiming Jesus all around the world. We were looking on our the other day. We were looking on. We have a little thing that pops up where people are listening online.
Uh-huh.
We can't track you otherwise.
But, no.
But there were some. I think there was one in Africa.
It's possible.
And one to the would have been to the east of Africa.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure exactly whether it was an island or where that was, but.
Well, matter of fact, this morning, I guess you say this, Lima province, Peru.
Okay, Lima province in Peru, in South America.
Somebody listening down in that area this morning. So thanks for being with us this morning.
And, of course, with our partnership with Transworld Radio, we reach people all around the world.
All over.
And 10% of your gifts to Missionary Radio, undesignated gifts, 10%. Go to Transworld Radio. That's what our partnership's all about.
That's it. And Joe, of course, they can go online now if they'd like to, missionary.radio, and go to donate.
Yes.
They can also go to, or mail it in to us, that is.
And the mailing address is Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. And a little later on in the morning.
Yeah.
Right now, we're kind of tied up. Can't get to the phone.
No.
But you can call us at 877-885-9655.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, in a little bit, we're going to talk about the book of Numbers.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Paul described the Macedonian believers as overflowing in the riches of their liberality, even while they were in deep poverty. How? Because grace was at work in their hearts. They didn't give out of ease, but of eager faith. Generosity doesn't always spring from abundance. It springs from grace. God's grace changes how we see our resources, not as possessions to hoard, but as tools to bless. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
The only thing that gets me through the end of the day is turning it on.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
I don't know how we would have gotten through the past couple years without it.
I'm Tammy Cummins, office manager and afternoon host on Missionary Radio. In these dark times, we need to make a difference for the kingdom of God by our prayers and finances, where they will make a big impact. It's expensive to run radio stations, but I believe it's money well spent to get the message of Jesus Christ out to many who still need Him. Missionary Radio, your community Christian station, is 100% listener-funded. Our What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th, and we need your help. We had a serious shortfall this summer, at times 75% below budget. If you're new to Missionary Radio, please join in supporting our mission to reach people for Christ. Or if you are a current partner, please renew. You may give online at missionary.radio, call 877-885-9655, or mail to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And good morning. Welcome back to the Front Porch. And, of course, this is Missionary Radio, your community station.
You know, Brian, it's a fact of life that sin always has consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Let me give a couple of examples. People who drive under the influence of drugs or alcohol, they can receive God's forgiveness.
Yes.
But the consequences of an accident often remain.
Yep.
And by the way, did you read last week that Erica Kirk's willingness to forgive Charlie's assassin challenged actor Tim Allen to finally forgive the drunk driver that killed his father 60 years ago?
Yep.
It seems just as bitterness and spite are contagious, so is forgiveness.
Yes.
And Tim Allen could say,
That's right. That's right.
You know, a couple of other examples of sin having consequences. A mate can be unfaithful and be forgiven, but it could take years to rebuild that essential trust and to forgive and forget just one moment of moral failure.
Yep.
As one writer said, people who think I'll just go ahead and sin and ask for forgiveness later, or who use that ever popular attitude, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
Oh, yeah.
They sometimes confuse forgiveness with consequences, and they often pay a higher price than they imagine, which brings us to the end of Numbers chapter 13, where the Israelites faced a difficult choice. Would they trust in the promises and the presence of God, or would they give in to fear and walk by sight instead of by faith? Let's review the end of Numbers 13 briefly. As the 12 spies returned, remember that huge cluster of grapes that we talked about last week on a pole?
Yes.
You're still looking for those in a grocery store, aren't you?
Well, matter of fact, we bought some last night. not that big, but they're good.
Well, these spies reported that the promised land was just as God had said. It was a rich land flowing with milk and honey, as that expression goes.
Yeah.
But then 10 of those spies reported, well, we saw giants there and many people who were not going to be displaced easily. There would be great resistance. And in their opinion, we just can't take the land. It would be too difficult,
sure,
too dangerous. And they refused to believe God's promise to go before them. And they so soon forgot how the Lord had brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea on dry ground. But two men among those 12 spies stood up boldly, speaking to the people against that tide of negativism. Now, do you know who they were? Caleb and Joshua.
Okay.
Look at the bold faith of Caleb in Numbers 13:30.
Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it."
As Chuck Swindoll wrote, Caleb had the ability to see above and beyond the majority. He looked at life through a different lens. He was committed to living his life from a God-centered, eternal perspective, which is something that doesn't come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It takes hard work. It takes commitment. It takes courage. It is a life that puts God in first place. But the majority shouted down this man of courage. We don't want to hear it. This great man of faith, Caleb. And he was left alone except for his friend Joshua, who was there by his side, no doubt, agreeing with his friend. So let's go back and look at the majority report in Numbers 13, 31 through 33.
But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight."
Chuck Swindoll asks, how can people look at a situation so differently?
Mm-hmm.
One group has determination, vision, dreams, and the other does not. The problem is that the latter group always seems to be in the majority.
Yeah.
They always carry the vote. Mm-hmm. They live by sight,
yeah,
not by faith.
Yes.
But what does the Bible tell us about how we should live? We should live by
faith
and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
In this story, 10 men saw the obstacles, 2 saw the answers. 10 men focused on what could not be accomplished, 2 focused on what could easily be accomplished by God's power.
Yeah.
10 were impressed with the size of their enemies, and 2 were impressed with the size of their God. Amen. And for the unbelief of the majority, the Lord exacted his punishment on them, which we'll see in Numbers 14. Now, that decision from the people of Israel did not go well. Let's read of their reaction. Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4.
So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt."
It doesn't sound like Caleb's brave words had much effect on them, does it?
Does not sound like
Didn't inspire them.
Nope.
Unbelief spread among God's people like an epidemic, infecting nearly all of Israel. This was crowd psychology at its worst.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they give in to mourning, to weeping aloud? Well, one writer suggested they did so because God would not make it easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we ever expect God to make it easy for us?
No. No. I mean, we want it to be easy a lot of times. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's a challenge.
Sometimes I think we expect it to be easy.
Yeah.
And when adversity comes, we resent it.
Yes.
Or when the going gets tough, we think, well, it shouldn't be like this. I'm following God.
Yeah.
But we should not forget the example of Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus was opposed at every turn.
Yeah.
He was always moving uphill against the wind. And nor did he promise us a rose garden if we take up our cross and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Why else might they have mourned? Well, I think they mourned because they gave in to the feeling of unbelief and fear.
Mm-hmm.
They mourned over the death of a dream.
Yeah.
This had been the dream that was keeping them going, and now it's, oh, we can't do it.
Can't do it.
And what they had been looking forward to was not going to become reality. Those present occupants of the promised land, including those giants, we're not just going to pack up and leave as the Israelites approached. So what did they do? Well, their old standby. They started grumbling.
Yep.
Murmuring. Complaining against the leadership again, against Moses and Aaron, and really against the Lord who'd been faithfully leading them all this time. They said they would rather have died back in Egypt or in the wilderness than to fall by the sword trying to conquer the land to which God was bringing them. They said they feared their wives and children would be taken as plunder.
Yeah.
Someone made a motion. Let's choose a new leader.
Yep.
And go back to Egypt. Well, there's a good bit of irony here in their words, because they refused to go forward, the adults of that generation would indeed die in the wilderness.
Mm.
Just as they said, well, I wish we had died in the wilderness.
Well,
and those children they were concerned about, they would be the ones who years later would finally get to inhabit the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. In the 2 years previous to Numbers 14, the people of Israel had experienced countless dramatic miracles, not to mention the daily miracles of manna,
mm-hmm,
and God's presence and leadership in the pillars of fire by night and the cloud by day. And yet in this critical moment, they could not bring themselves to trust God in his promise. They said, in effect, we don't want God's plan. We don't want God's leaders. And we don't want God's land.
Uh-huh.
They actually believed they knew better than God. Glad we're never that way.
Oh, no, never. Never.
Well, we'll continue with Numbers chapter 14 and come back from Pen from the Heart here on your community Christian station, Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Providence, we are very thankful for the ministry of Missionary Radio. We can't imagine our day without our dependable quality programming, or your dependable quality programming. From Hopkinsville, I listen to your station day and night. I have been so encouraged by the great ministries that are broadcast. Thank you. From Big Rock, thank you for praying and for being there for all of us. And from Hanson, God bless you, dear friends.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
We're in Numbers chapter 14, and after getting the reports from the spies, they agreed, all the spies, that it was a great land. It was a good land that God had promised to them, but they saw giants and enemies there that they didn't think they could take with the Lord's help. And so they grumbled against Moses and Aaron early in chapter 14, said, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to let us fall by the sword? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?
Mm.
And they even started looking for a leader to take them back to Egypt. Now, the two primary leaders that they had been grumbling to were Moses and Aaron. They had one reaction, and a similar response came from Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14, 5 through 9.
Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.
So the reaction of Moses and Aaron, they fell face down.
Yes.
maybe they were a little older and wiser than Caleb and Joshua. They knew how bad the situation was, and they resigned themselves to the inevitable. The only thing they knew to do was to show their grief publicly over the situation. So they fell face down. So, this is terrible, the worst that could happen.
Yeah.
And I think they also fell face down in earnest prayer for a miracle if the people were to be spared. They were face down crying out to God for his mercy on the people. What was the reaction of Joshua and Caleb? They first tore their clothes.
Yes, tore their clothes. And I was trying to find it in that reading there.
The expression of deep grief and mourning.
Yeah.
And maybe because they hadn't had to put up with all that Moses and Aaron had, they might have been more optimistic, and they tried one more time to reason with the mob. What was their argument?
That they wanted to go to the land where milk and honey flow?
Yeah, the land's good indeed.
Land's good.
It flows with milk and honey, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll give it to us just as he promised. Folks, don't rebel against the Lord in this way. I think Caleb and Joshua even tried a little trash talking, saying that the people of the land, they are our bread. We'll devour them. We'll eat them up. Their gods can't protect them against the one true God. Do not fear them.
Yeah.
Now, Joshua and Caleb knew it would not be an easy road. It would not be a simple task to conquer the land that God had promised them, but they saw God. They knew that with God, all things are possible. This was the moment of truth. This was decision time. Time for their final answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would they obey God or would they rebel against him? Well, look at two responses to the appeal of Caleb and Joshua, a response from the people and then a response from the Lord. Numbers 14, 10 through 12.
And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater than mightier than they."
So what was the people's response? They didn't want to hear the truth of the words.
They didn't want to hear the truth.
They began picking up stones. "We'll shut you up for good."
Uh-huh.
You know, even today, we've seen the cancel culture, and we've seen that hostility to hearing the words of the Lord, to hearing truth. It may not be stones, but it could be hateful words.
Yes.
And as we've seen recently, bullets.
Yes.
To fight against one who speaks words of truth.
Yes.
This mob wanted to kill Caleb and Joshua, to shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, but the Lord intervened as the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before them all. And when the Lord speaks, everybody has to listen.
Mm-hmm.
One writer noted that God spoke his message of judgment on the people to Moses. It was almost as if they weren't there, because God knew that they were past hearing him. That commentator said, "Many a child of God in rebellion wonders why they do not hear the voice of God anymore, why God does not speak to them anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we reject what God has already said, we often close our ears to what he may continue to speak to us through the Bible. Could it be that God doesn't speak to us because we don't want to listen?
I would say so. That's the main thing.
Well, the Lord had had enough of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Their rejection of him made no sense. He asked a simple question: how long? How long will this continue?
Mm-hmm.
And surely God would judge them on the spot. What did God propose to do?
He was going to strike them with pestilence and disinherit them.
He was going to wipe them out with a plague.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he intended to make a great nation of Moses and his descendants,
mm-hmm.
A nation even greater than Israel already was. So if Moses were to do nothing, this plan of God would go into effect. But I believe Moses stood tall in this hour, even though he was face down on his knees.
Yeah.
Rather than say, hey, God, that sounds like a pretty good idea to make of my descendants a great nation.
Yeah.
Rather than take God up on that offer, Moses interceded for the people of Israel. Let's see what he had to say to God, verses 13 through 16.
And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people to the land which he had swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.
So how did Moses appeal to God for Israel? I think he appealed to God's reputation among the nations of the world. If God wiped them out, what could the people say about God?
Yeah.
Well, in verse 16, they could say the Lord's not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath. And so he slaughtered them in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
He begged God, don't give them the opportunity to think that you're not true to your word.
Yeah.
Or that you don't have enough power to finish what you start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moses was concerned here in his prayer, his intercession for the reputation of God. And when we come back after Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope, here on Missionary Radio, your community station, we'll see how Moses appealed to the nature of God, to what God had already said about himself.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. Today, Johnny has an interesting observation about the Apostle Paul.
You and I both know that Paul has got to be one of the best examples in Scripture of what it means to follow Jesus and follow him closely. Yes, you are very much like Paul. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are out there doing great spiritual conquests, when you are energized by the Word, and you just can't stop talking, you can't stop singing, you can't stop witnessing about Jesus. All this makes you feel filled with God's power, and even your faith seems enlarged, like anything is possible. That's like Paul, because he's just like that in the book of Acts. The golden days of Paul's ministry are recorded in Acts, and it seemed no effort for him to be wide awake at midnight in a jail cell, earnestly praying despite his weary, aching body, feeling the weight of chains. Especially then, he was singing hymns at the top of his lungs. Scripture tells us the jail doors flew open and everyone's chains fell off. Prisoners applauded him, and the jail keeper got saved instantly and even invited him to his house. Things were looking up. There were countless spiritual victories, miraculous healings, huge advancements on the mission field. This new fledgling church was growing, and Paul's preaching kept bringing more and more into the fold. No wonder Paul was filled to overflowing with joy. But then, time goes by. And if you look closer at his last epistle, you see a different, a softer side. Sure, Paul was in jail again when he wrote 2 Timothy, but this time, there was no loud singing. There was no miracle. There was no escape. Winter was approaching, and Paul felt old and tired. Deserted by his friends, he struggled against sickness. Even his companion, Trophimus, was sick, yet Paul could not do a thing to heal his friend. He could not even heal himself. Yet the old apostle didn't allow discouraging circumstances to get him down. Things were not the same as the golden days of old, yet he hung on courageously to God, sharing honestly with his readers about his need for prayer. He isn't too proud to admit that he's in dire need of spiritual support, for he writes in his second epistle, in the fourth chapter, he says, I am being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, but do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he'd loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. You can almost hear the weariness and even a little bit of loneliness in his words.
And friend, there's the lesson from Paul's life for us. Because some days you feel like life is on the upswing, and other days it's totally flat. Sometimes you sense the miracle in your life. Other times, everything seems very ordinary. Are you energized today to meet a challenge head on? Or do you feel tired and trapped? Life circumstances can make you feel like a yo-yo, can't they? But don't allow the ups and downs to get you down. Learn a lesson from the Apostle Paul at both ends of his wonderful ministry. Don't look at your situation. Just keep looking at your Savior. Keep committing to God to fight the good fight. Finish the race and keep up the faith no matter what your age might be. Let's hear from you today at johnnyradio.org.
Missionary Radio family, our What an Awesome God Carathon is almost here, October 7th through 9th. But here's the truth. Our pre-pledges are small, and without a strong response, this ministry can't continue as it has. Hello, this is Ken Cummins, General Manager of your community Christian station, Missionary Radio. We need gifts of every size, because together, they add up. But if God has blessed you with the ability to give more, now is the time. Larger gifts at this moment will carry Missionary Radio through a critical shortfall and make sure the gospel is proclaimed loud and clear in our community. There is urgency, but also great hope. We believe God will use His people, you, to keep His word strong on the air. Will you be a part of the answer? Now is the time. Give today at missionary.radio or call us at 877-885-9655 during the Carathon, October 7th through 9th. Together, let's proclaim what an awesome God we serve.
Missionary, Missionary Radio. We're working our way through Numbers chapter 14, which is where the people of Israel said, no, we're not going to go into the land because the people are too hostile. There are giants in that land. We can't take it. And so the Lord, after enough grumbling and whining and complaining and their refusal to go in, the Lord proposed to Moses that I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to make a great nation of you, Moses, and your descendants.
Yeah.
Well, Moses interceded to the Lord. He was concerned for the reputation of God that people would say, well, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land He promised them on oath, and so He slaughtered them in the wilderness. In verses 17 through 19 of Numbers 14, Moses appealed to the nature of God, to what God had already said about Himself.
And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.
You know, there are numerous places in Scripture where God communicated that He was slow to anger, abounding in love, eager to forgive sin. Moses was here. He was praying what God had said about Himself back to God, like Exodus 34, 5 through 7.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed His name, the Lord. And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
So Moses is saying, Lord, I remember that time You described Yourself as compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness and forgiving wickedness. And then Psalm 103, 7 through 12.
He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor he will harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
I don't know about you, but I'm glad.
Amen. Me
that
too.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, yes, and slow to anger.
Yes.
And that he separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west when he forgives it. Moses was doing what we can do when we pray. Quote the promises of God back to him. Not that God needs to be reminded of his character, but we do. So Moses here was asking of God, I think he was asking God that his mercy would kick in, mm-hmm, and he would not wipe them out. Yes, God was righteous. He's the righteous judge. He will not let sin go unpunished. But he was praying that God's mercy would kick in. He would not wipe them out.
Yeah.
So here Moses shared the heart of God toward his people, and that's what made the intercession of Moses so admirable. And the prayer of Moses made a difference. Look at God's answer, verses 20 through 23 of Numbers 14.
Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me into the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it.
So what was the penalty for this disobedient, rebellious people?
It was rejection.
Yeah, they weren't going to see the promised land.
Yeah.
The land that they refused to go in, yeah, not one of them, God said, will ever see the land.
Yep.
So God's word was that he had forgiven or pardoned them, as Moses had asked fervently, but God put up with their rebellion these 10 times, as he put it.
Yeah.
And those who had chosen not to follow God's will would not see the promised land. But there was an exception. There was an exception made for Caleb in verse 24.
But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring it to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it.
So what was the honored title with which the Lord spoke of Caleb?
That he was a servant.
Yeah. When God calls you my servant Brian,
yeah,
my servant Joe, my servant Caleb,
yeah,
that's a great praise from the Lord.
Great praise, yes.
He said that Caleb, his servant, had a different spirit. He followed me wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And we will see that Joshua was the other exception to the judgment of God. Incidentally, over in Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 15, we read that the Lord was true to his promise to Caleb. And 45 years later, at the age of 85, Caleb led his family to take the very place where those giants had terrified his enemies, or not his enemies, but his cronies, so many years earlier.
Okay, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helped me. I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites.
That was the giants.
Okay. Then the land had rest for more.
But focus on Caleb. What a man of God.
Yes.
I'm going to trust the Lord to fulfill his promise.
Yes.
And what a man's man, a man of courage.
Yes.
I thought my dad was tough. Into his 80s.
Yeah.
I never heard him say, well, it wasn't until he was in his 80s when he began to say what I've been saying for years. I can't do all I used to do.
That's right. I can't do the things I used to be able to do.
But what a man of courage this Caleb was, asking Joshua, who had succeeded Moses by that time, let me take the most challenging area. I've kept myself in shape. I've been working out.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to take him on. And incidentally, that's where the grapes came from, that region too.
Mm-hmm.
He was hungry for some grapes.
Mm. Yeah.
So David Jeremiah comments that during the next 40 years after this incident, Joshua and Caleb essentially got up many mornings and went to yet another funeral of someone in their generation who had died.
Yeah.
Their fellow spies died immediately when God sent a plague on them, indicating the severity of their sinful behavior. And others lost their opportunity to enter the land, but the instigators lost their lives at once. So God's sentence on the unbelieving, rebellious generation was to send them back to the wilderness to wander for 40 years until they died off, 1 year for each day that the spies were in the promised land. Numbers 14, and we're running out of time, so we won't take time to read it, but it's verses 25 through 35 is a lengthy but sobering account of the consequences of not trusting in the Lord and obeying him, and rather rebelling of them. Mm-hmm. God carried out his sentence for their rebellion against him, and not one of them, except Caleb and Joshua, got to enter the land. Their bodies or carcasses fell day after day, year after year in the wilderness. Their children, however, in God's mercy, would live to see God fulfill his promises to his people. Verses 36 through 38, we find that those 10 spies died on the spot when God pronounced his judgment.
Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land.
I think we can learn from that their consequences were even more serious of these people who were influencers. We hear people want to be influencers these days.
Oh, yes.
But there's greater responsibility that comes with leadership and influence.
Yes.
And they're very serious responsibilities, especially when you move somebody in the wrong direction.
Yes.
So the people of Israel, they went on in by themselves. Moses told them not to, but they went in and they suffered defeat. So the application that we get is, you know, sometimes we have a narrow window of opportunity for faith. And when that opportunity passes, it is gone. There are no guarantees of a second chance. We don't know whether it will come again or not. And sometimes the consequences of sin and rebellion are irreversible. And one has to endure the experience of God's judgment before a new course of action brings blessing. And finally, the third lesson we can take from Numbers 14 is that God wants you to have a faith in spite of the data. Mm-hmm. He's greater than your biggest problem and bigger than your biggest failure.
Amen.
That's where we end up this morning, Numbers chapter 14.
And thanks for listening to The Front Porch on this Friday morning. Join us some next week for The Front Porch and, of course, our Carathon.
Yes.
What an awesome God.